This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له جل عن الشبيه والمثيل والكفء والنظير وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We praise Him, we thank Him, and upon Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for true guidance. And we ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy upon the best of human beings and prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. A man once came into a gathering. He was a wise old man, and he addressed the audience with a joke. When he finished the joke, the crowd cackled with laughter. And then he went to repeat the same joke over again. And in the audience, fewer people laughed. Then he went on to repeat the same joke over again, and fewer people than the previous time laughed. Until he repeated it another time, when no one was laughing. And he asked them, "You can't laugh at the same joke over and over again, but why do you keep crying over the same things in your life over and over again?" And the people were amazed. So we don't know. Why is it that we can laugh only at one joke, but then it becomes old? But when it comes to a saddening event, or something that brought us pain, we can cry over it even if it was 50 years. Even if it was a lifetime. You will cry over the same thing if you simply remember it or something triggers that in you. And he said, do you know why that is? He said, the reason people can't stop laughing or stop laughing at the same jokes is because the novelty of jokes is in the element of surprise. The element of surprise is what makes you laugh. You haven't heard that joke before. But once you've heard it, you will never laugh at it again. You'll say, oh, I've heard that one before. And he said, the element of surprise meets our need for uncertainty. We have a human need to know what is hidden, what is unseen, what is uncertain. So when that need is met, you find pleasure in it, or you find fulfillment in knowing. But rather, when it comes to crying, it's the exact opposite. When it comes to crying and sadness, it is the element of predictability, of certainty, that drives many of us to cry over the exact same things. And this story showed a powerful thing to this audience. He said that the reality is, our drive for constantly wanting to feed that element of uncertainty, to constantly want to hear news that brings an element of knowledge to us, makes us something which in fact makes us as addicted as drug addicts to drugs. And that is called being an inspiration junkie. An inspiration junkie. What is an inspiration junkie? A cognitive therapist said that an inspiration junkie is someone whose energy is high and they're always excited to know about the next big thing, about hearing the next new news, the details of an event, and to follow it up with more details and more details until they become addicted to this, or they become addicted to entertaining their love for wanting to hear information, and they get a high over it. And this high, they rarely implement. They rarely implement. Brothers and sisters, we live in an age of a constant 24-hour news cycle. We live in an age where we have made our spirituality a form of our entertainment to fulfill our need and be addicted to that form of inspiration. How many of us find something amazing on Facebook and the first thing that we do before we even read it, we start hitting share? Or when we hear a news, we decide to spread it to our families that want to be the first person to share the news and to spread the news and to follow the news on a day-to-day basis, feeds this addiction and makes us addicted to inspiration, addicted to news, addicted to elements of what we don't implement or have any kind of practical benefit from it at all. And what drives us more to do this is, unfortunately, in a time where Muslims feel helpless, when they look at the news, when they feel saddened at what's going on, when they are smeared for simply being Muslims in this country, even when they were born, and it is their God-given right to practice their religion, when people trump their faith, when people trump their spirituality by telling them that they have no place or they have no need to be here and that they are not wanted. The only thing that we can do when we find ourselves is that we need to have this constant want to be in tune with what's going to happen next. Not realizing that this is part of the game. This is part of the game, brothers and sisters. They want to hook you in. People who spew this kind of hate only attract our attention. And they want more of our attention, and that's exactly the vicious cycle that we live on a day-to-day basis. Instead of looking around us as I drive by here, only 2 miles away from one of the icons of this society, a man who just his words shook nations and who made impact on souls even to this day, even though he has passed away, a man who lived in this city, in this community, a man who impacted the world with his words, a man who had principles that were based in the foundation of the values and belief he lived in, that which people want to trump in our day, but they are part of the fabric of our society. That man was Malcolm X. That man who lived 2 miles away in a home which now many of us may drive by but not know the history of, and not know what principles led this man to be a person who overcomes any difficulty and never allowed the word hopeless to be in the dictionary of Islam, which led his existence. That man should be our role model, brothers and sisters. It is that man who lived as an American Muslim and was a model Muslim who even influenced people like Muhammad Ali, rahimahumullah jami'an. May God have mercy on all of them, who influence us to this day. But what do? We simply feed into a system of people who have hatred, of people who are using our attention in order to put us in a mindless spell. And you know what that mindless spell is called? It's called ghafla. Allah calls it ghafla, heedlessness. And Allah says in the Quran, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابَهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. That the hour approaches when every human being will be held to account for their deed and their action, and they are in a state of heedlessness, wandering. This is the state that we find ourselves in, brothers and sisters. We find ourselves in a state where we constantly feed this mechanism of wanting to be part of a solution. But in reality, we have fallen into being part of the problem by feeding into this. How do we get out of this? Our faith calls for something which uses inspiration, which uses that fulfillment of that understanding of having knowledge of what's the unknown and uncertain, and removing anxiety into positive action which will be impactful. This is the problem. We have worry, and worry is an addiction. It hits the same pleasure as the part of your brain physiologically that a drug addict has when he's addicted to drugs. Serotonin in your mind. When you're addicted to this and you have this constant worry and you don't seek impactful change, you will feed only more worry to yourself. What did the Prophet ﷺ do? And what did the Quran tell us to be impactful human beings, to live in a way that we can change our society and not be a part of this constant, never-ending cycle of being addicted to negativity? The Prophet ﷺ inspired us that it will not be inspiration only. It will not be simple words. It won't be just motivation or quoting or collecting quotes or having an addiction to the news or what will fulfill your understanding of how to be part of the society, which will help you get past this. It is one thing and one thing only. It is the constancy of deeds. It is the constancy of deeds. It is to do little, but to do it regularly. It is not alone to feel that you're part of this beautiful faith of Islam and you feel inspired by it, but that it leads you to little constant action. Little action that benefits your community. Little action that benefits your own personal worship. And little action that will collectively make an impact in your city, make an impact in America, and make an impact in the entire world. If you can imagine, every one of us here, there's roughly probably 300-400 people here, maybe more, does something impactful in their day-to-day life. Something constant, but they follow it up daily, is more important than if they were to just follow this never-ending news cycle and to feed this constant feeling of being inspired and motivated, but not acting upon it at all. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ felt the exact same way. One of the companions by the name of Hanzala radiallahu anhu arda went to the companion Abu Bakr, who was one of the closest people to the Prophet ﷺ. And he said to them, "Oh Abu Bakr, I've become a hypocrite." And Abu Bakr says to him, "What are you saying, Hanzala? What are you saying? How can you say you're a hypocrite? Don't you believe? Don't you have faith? Don't you practice your faith?" He said, "Yes, but why is it that when we're with the Prophet, peace be upon him, we feel high in our spirituality? We feel like we are in paradise in front of us. We can see it. We feel a sense of fulfillment. We feel good. We feel being with the Prophet ﷺ. We have that spiritual high. But when we go to our family, when we go about our day-to-day business, we feel that low. And we don't feel that anymore. I think this is hypocrisy. So I'm a hypocrite." And Abu Bakr looks at him and he said, "You know what, Hanzala? I feel the same way. I feel the same way. I'm a hypocrite too, if that's the case." And what did they do? They went to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "What's wrong with you all? Why are you saying you're hypocrites?" Abu Bakr is saying, "I'm a hypocrite," and Hanzala is saying, "I'm a hypocrite." He said, "Why are you saying this?" They said that, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of God, when we're with you, we feel spiritually high, but when we go to our families, we lose that spiritual high." And he said to them something amazing, which is the antidote. He said, "Oh, my companions, know that there is a time for this and the time for action. There is a time to be spiritually motivated, and then there's a time to go back to your families and get to work and implement that in action. There's a time for this and a time for that." And he said that if you were to always be constantly spiritually high, the angels would come down and shake your hands because you would be at the level of the angels. You would be at the level of the angels. How can we, as a community, empower ourselves to be a community, to be an individual, to be a family, which implements the practice of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, "The best deeds to God are those that even if they're little, they're constant." We will discuss in the second khutbah. قُلُوا قَالُوا هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our noble creator, our Lord and our sustainer, the one we call to alone, and we send our peace and blessings upon the noble messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all of the prophets who came before him, from Abraham and Moses and Jesus, and all of them who follow them in excellence. And we ask Allah to gather us with them in excellence. Ameen ya Rabbi, ameen. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his wife Aisha when he found that there was another woman with her. And he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, who is she? And Aisha radiallahu anha said that this is such and such woman. And then she started to praise this woman. She's a woman who prays a lot. She has a lot of salah that she does. She prays constantly. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shook his head disapprovingly. He said, no, Aisha. As if saying, this is not good. How can constantly be doing prayers not be good? He said to her, do good deeds which is within your capacity. Do good deeds which is within your capacity. Because God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not get tired until you get tired of doing actions. He will not tire of rewarding you ever until you tire of actually doing the action. And the best deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which is done regularly. It's that which is done regularly. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told Aisha radiallahu anha that extravagance in doing massive amounts of deeds is not what's most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to do little and impactful action. And one day, Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about this. He said, oh mother of the believers, a man asked her, how were the deeds of Allah's messenger? How were his regular actions? Did he do certain acts on specific days? And she said, no, but he used to do good deeds on a regular basis. He used to do good deeds on a regular basis. One of the problems that we have, brothers and sisters, is that we find the little action that we can do. Unfortunately, what shaitan does to us is make the little action seem insignificant. So if I'm not doing it 100%, I'm not going to do it at all. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said that there are two deeds. If a believer does these deeds, he will be granted paradise. But there will be few people that will do them. The companion said, what are they, Ya Rasulullah? He said that when the Muslim prays 5 times a day, after the prayer, he says, Subhanallah, 10 times. And he says, Alhamdulillah, 10 times. He glorifies God and he thanks God 10 times. And he says, Allahu Akbar. He says, God is great, 10 times. This is 30. And there's 5 daily prayers. So 30 times 5 is how much? How much is it? 150. He said, this is 150 on the tongue, but it is 1,500 on the scale of good deeds, because God multiplies every deed by 10 at least. And he said that when you go to sleep, and if you were to recite Subhanallah 33 times, and Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times, that makes it? How much does it make it? 100. He said, this is 100 on your tongue, but 1,000 on the scale of good deeds, because God multiplies your reward. And all together, it equals 2,500 deeds that God gives you. Then he says something amazing. He says, how many of you commit 2,500 sins a day? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, that's a lot. Even if we tried counting, we wouldn't be able to say we commit 2,500 sins a day. He said that God rewards you 2,500 deeds, which will erase even if you were to commit 2,500 sins a day. And then they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of God, this is so easy. You're saying whoever does these two things, they will be granted paradise? Why won't people be able to do it? And this is the message. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that shaitan will come to you when you are in your prayer. And he will say, remember such and such. Remember what that man said on TV the other day. Remember what that man responded with. Remember what happened in my country. Or remember what happened in this country. Remember this amazing thing that you have to do. Remember this appointment that you have. Remember that you have to buy this suit. You have to buy this purse. You have to do this and you have to do that. Until you forget it. By the end of the prayer, you say you have to go and do something. You say you have busy things to do. You will not be able to remember God even 10 times. Even 10 times. You will not be able to thank God even 10 times. You will not be able to glorify God even 10 times after the prayer. And the same thing will happen to you when you go to sleep. That shaitan will come to you and tell you about the busyness of your day and how tired you are and how you got an argument with your husband or wife or your children and that you have to get up early morning for a meeting and hit the 93 and be in that traffic for an hour. All of that. And what happens? You go to sleep. You will not be able to remember God. Simply saying 100 times. And he said, this is why. There will be few people that will do this constantly. But if they were to do it constantly, they would get paradise. Allahu Akbar. I challenge you. I challenge myself. All of you today. That after the Jumu'ah is over, how many of us will sit in the Jumu'ah and recite 10 times Subhanallah, 10 times Alhamdulillah, 10 times Allahu Akbar. That's it. This is all that God wants from us. The message from this hadith, brothers and sisters, it is where is the impactful constancy of deeds that we have to show? What do we do on a day-to-day basis we can say is impactful in our lives? And those are two categories. Number one, when it comes to you, and number two, when it comes to others. Number one, how do you have a relationship with your Creator? How do you take care of your spirituality? Do you take a moment in your day where you're raising your hand to your Lord and saying, oh my God, oh the one who hears me, oh the one who sees me, oh the one who knows me better than I know myself. Is there your mercy that I want? As long as you're not angry with me, I don't care. As long as you are pleased with me, all matters are at ease. As long as you are the one guiding me, there's no need for me for anyone else. How many of us pray to our Creator in this way? Call to Him with our souls. Have a yearning for our Creator. Have a yearning for His companionship. And understand He's the only one who facilitates our day-to-day lives. How many of us do that? Once a day, where no one sees you, when you're in the car, in the garage or outside of your house, and you just say, oh Lord, help me today. Oh Lord, help the community today. How many of us do that? How many of us can do this simple dhikr after the 5 daily prayers 10 times and do it constantly? How many of us never give up witr, even if it's one rak'ah, one unit of prayer before you sleep? You're about to pass out of tiredness, but you say, no God, you mean more to me than my tiredness. And we have to genuinely ask ourselves, how much care do we give to our Creator so that our Creator can care about us and facilitate our problems? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you remember me in ease, I will remember you in difficulty. If you remember me in your gatherings, I will remember you in a gathering much greater than this. Brothers and sisters, we need to break our feeding our souls with the poison of this never-ending addiction to the news cycle, to inspiration without implementation, without application. How many of us in the second category have any meaningful actions when it comes to our neighbors? I'm not talking about over here. I'm talking about your neighbor, the one that lives next to you, your coworker. How many of you had a meaningful relationship with them? How many of you bought them lunch just because? How many of you brought them lunch during Ramadan every single day to a new coworker, for example? Just to be a person who imparts genuineness. How many of you invited them to the mosque? to come see the community? How many of you just did acts of kindness? Be genuine neighbors to them. Even if you haven't, you can come after this week and say, you know what? I've been a bad neighbor for 25 years. I think it's about time that I introduce myself, and I wanted to just extend a hand to you. If you need help, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Jibreel, the angel Gabriel, came down and he said that he is not among you unless he takes care of his neighbor. And he is not, he said he kept saying this until I felt my neighbor was going to inherit me. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said he does not have complete faith if he goes to sleep while his hunger, while his neighbor goes to sleep hungry. How many of us know the surrounding area here around the masjid or your neighborhood which people go hungry? Be part of something impactful. People who have no impact in society only feel hopeless, and there is no hopelessness in the vocabulary of Islam. This is what people like Malcolm X lived on a day-to-day basis. This is what made him a guidance for others, because he lived that speech. He walked. He didn't just simply speak it. This is what Muhammad Ali lived. These are our role models. If we can't see as far behind in our history, these people lived in our time and passed away in our generation. Look at their lives. I end with the story of a woman who said that Muhammad Ali used to write her for 34 years. He said, I don't know what kind of man this was. I don't know the kind of man, the kind of heart that he had. I was nobody. I was a woman in a rural county in the middle of I don't even know what state. And I used to write that man, and that man used to write me back because of genuine human care. Until one day, I got a chance to meet him. And when I met him, he remembered me by my name. For 34 years, writing to this woman, constancy in deeds, something you can live by. Not something that you're remembered and people remember you, but if God remembers you, because you remembered him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are constantly in remembrance of him. Allahumma ja'alna min al-dhakirin, wa ja'alna min al-shakirin. Allahumma ja'alna laka min al-tawabin, wa ja'alna ka min al-tawabin, ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma arzuqna al-rushta fil amr, ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma nasaluka thabata fil amr. Allahumma nasaluka azimata ala rushd. Allahumma anna nasaluka shukra ala ni'matik, wa husna ibadatik, wa nasaluka lisanan sadiqan. ونسألك قلبا خاشعا ونسألك قلبا سليما ونعوذ بك من شر ما تعلم ونسألك من خير ما تعلم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين، هاديين مهديين، صالحين مصلحين. اللهم ارزقنا أن نكون من الهاديين يا رب العالمين. واهدي بنا يا رب السماوات والأرضين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are guidance for others and have guidance in our actions before our tongues, and make us of those who remember him often, and make us of those who are a guidance for our families and our neighbors, and to implement this beautiful religion in action and to be in a state of thankfulness for this blessing. And we ask him to grant us the highest stations of paradise and the companionship of our noble prophet and messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with our mothers and our fathers and our children and our wives and all of the believers. Wa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa aqimus salat.